The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So just as a reminder this morning, we're working our way through the book of homilies. We're only on the second homily. So I'm not gonna try to read the whole thing to you because it's a little bit archaic and it's a little bit long. So I've done some editing to kind of make them a little more accessible. Last week we talked about homily valuing the Word of God, right? And asking why don't we read the Word of God? It's such a great gift to us. This is the second homily. It is a sermon of the misery of all mankind and of his condemnation to death everlasting by his own sin. The Holy Ghost, in writing the Holy Scripture, is in nothing more diligent than to pull down man's vainglory and pride, which of all vices is most universally grafted in all mankind, even from the first infection of our first father Adam. And therefore we read in Scripture many lessons against this old rooted vice to teach us the superior virtue of humility, how to know ourselves and to remember what we be of ourselves. In the book of Genesis, Almighty God tells us who we are through our ancestor, Adam. Through the curse on Adam, we learn about our own origins. That curse says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." We see here that we are but earth and ashes, and to these we shall return. And we read that Abraham, Judith, Hester, Job, Jeremiah, with other holy men and women in the Old Testament, bewailed their sins with sackcloth and dust and ashes upon their heads. This was a sign to all that looked upon them that they remembered the origin of humanity, that they were vile, corrupt, frail. Truly, we are but dust scattered over the face of the earth. Almighty God commanded his prophet Isaiah to cry to the whole world, "All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." And the holy prophet Job, personally experiencing the miserable and sinful state of man, speaks similarly, saying, "Man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and then fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one." And considering that all men are so naturally evil and universally given to sin, Scripture says, "God repented that ever he made man. And because of the wickedness on the earth, God sent the flood to destroy humanity, except for the remnant of Noah and his household. Therefore, it is not without great cause that the Holy Scripture calls all men by this word, earth. O thou earth, earth, earth." This is our rightful name and title. We might put on pretenses or claim various dignities for ourselves, but none of us can escape from what we are, dust, earth, dirt. Likewise, God, speaking by his faithful apostle St. Paul in Romans chapter 3, saying, "For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, as it is written, 'There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one.' Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The most holy men of Scripture, Job, St. John Baptist, St. Paul, St. John the Apostle, St. David, were all used greatly by God and praised by Scripture as being holy and godly men. And yet they all still knew that they were but dust and ashes. They knew their sins were great. They knew that nothing they accomplished was worthy to earn merit with God. Rather, they understood that their depravity was deeply rooted and that it could not be dislodged except by God. Our sins spring from us just like water springing forth from a fountain. And our Savior Christ himself agrees, saying, "There is none good but God, and that we can do nothing that is good without him, and that no man can come to the Father but by him." He praises the penitent publican before the proud, holy, and self-glorifying Pharisee. He teaches us in our prayers to acknowledge ourselves to be sinners, to ask our Father for forgiveness and deliverance from all evils. He declares that our sins originate from our hearts, from within us. He says that he came to save the sheep that were utterly lost and cast away. And therefore, few of the proud, righteous, and learned Pharisees were saved by him, because they justified themselves by their counterfeit holiness before men. Wherefore, good people, let us beware of such hypocrisy, vainglory, and self-justification. Let us lower our eyes to the ground, humble our proud hearts, and confess with the manifold testimony of Scripture that we are but clay, frail and brittle vessels. Our first task is to know ourselves as Scripture describes us before we presume to know of God. The godly men of old humbled themselves before God, their Creator. Of ourselves, we do not bring forth good fruit, but rather weeds, nettles, brambles, briars. We lack the fruit of the Spirit. We have neither faith, charity, hope, patience, or chastity, nor anything else that is good. These virtues only come from God. They are the fruits of the Holy Ghost. They are not the fruits of man. Let us therefore acknowledge ourselves before God, what we are, miserable and wretched sinners. Let us earnestly repent and humble ourselves heartily and cry to God for mercy. Let us all confess with mouth and with heart that we be full of imperfections. Let us know our own works to be faulty, and then we shall not stand foolishly and arrogantly in our own conceits, nor challenge any part of our justification by our merits or works. We are full of imperfections. We do not love God as much as we ought, with our whole heart, mind, and power. We do not fear God so much as we ought. Our prayers are tepid. Our good deeds are flawed. We capitulate to the devil and to his temptations. Let us therefore not be ashamed to confess plainly our state of imperfection. Even our very best and truest work, let none of us be ashamed to say with Holy Peter, "I am a sinful man." Let us all say with the holy prophet David, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have done amiss and dealt wickedly." Let us make open confession with the prodigal son to our Father and say with him, "We have sinned against heaven and before thee, O Father. We are not worthy to be called thy sons." Let us all say with the holy prophet Daniel, O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee. We have sinned, we have offended, we have fled from thee. We have turned away from all thy precepts and judgments. So we learn of all good men in Holy Scripture to humble ourselves and to exalt, extol, praise, and magnify, and glorify God. Thus we conclude that we have no goodness, help, nor salvation, but only sin. If we consider this, it only points us all the more to the great mercy of God and how our salvation comes only by Christ. For we ourselves are subject to a miserable captivity by the devil through the breaking of God's commandments in our first parent Adam. We are all unclean, unable to cleanse ourselves or others. We are by nature the children of God's wrath, far from God's glory. We are sheep that run astray and cannot find our way back home. We in ourselves have no glory, only sin. Our faulty works will not stand in the day of the righteous judgment of God. To God, therefore, must we flee, or else we shall never find peace, rest, quietness of our conscience in our hearts. He is the Father of mercies, and God, the God of all consolation. He is the Lord with whom is plenteous redemption. And all these heavenly rewards are given us, not for our own merits or good deeds, but of his mere mercy freely. And for whose sake? Truly for Jesus Christ's sake, that pure and undefiled Lamb of God. He is that dearly beloved Son for whose sake God is fully pacified, satisfied, and set at one with man. Of him only it may be truly spoken that he did all things well, and in his mouth was found no craft nor subtlety. He is that high and everlasting priest which hath offered himself once for all upon the altar of the cross, and with that one oblation hath made perfect for evermore them that are sanctified. He is alone the mediator between God and man, which paid our ransom to God with his own blood. With that hath he cleansed us from all sin. He is the physician which healeth all our diseases. And in him and by him have we from God the Father all good things pertaining either to the body or to the soul. Oh, how much we owe our Heavenly Father for his great mercies, which he hath so plenteously declared unto us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. What thanksgiving can we return to him, except that we all with one accord burst out with joyful voices, ever praising and magnifying this Lord of mercy for his tender kindness, show to us and his dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today we have been reminded of what we truly are: sinful, wretched, damnable. Of ourselves, we are not able to either think a good thought or work a good deed. To save ourselves is to condemn ourselves. And we were reminded of the tender kindness and great mercy of God the Father toward us only for Christ's sake. Now, in the next sermon, we will consider just how to obtain these exceeding great mercies of God. In Christ Jesus and through him, just how we may be delivered from the captivity of sin, death, and hell. And now, if you will, don't mind, allow me to add just a little bit of perspective to this homily. You know, the general approach with all these homilies is for the author to pull many examples from Scripture and to demonstrate and prove his point. We have heard this morning how even the heroes of the Bible freely and often acknowledge that without Christ, without God's salvation, they are but earth and dust. I suspect we moderns would agree with this, but then point to, well, that other guy out there who really needs to hear this. Considering that this is St. Peter's Day, he is our prime example of one who thought that these admonitions were for someone else. Peter bragged that he would never depart from Christ. But all of his self-confidence was meaningless, for we know he denied Christ three times. I am afraid that we, and I include myself in that we, are all very much like Peter. We do think too highly of ourselves, so we should take this final encouragement from the homily to heart. Before the next sermon, let us learn to know ourselves, our frailty and weakness. Let us turn from our self-satisfaction and arrogance. Let us also acknowledge the exceeding great mercy of God towards us. If we thus humbly submit ourselves in the sight of God, we may be sure that when he comes again, he will lift us up unto the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.